Hey, this podcast replay, it's brought to you by Sports Grill with 7 great locations. Check out the Bird Road and Miami Lakes locations. Sports Grill is the home to the legendary Sports Grilled Wings, and catch our Dolphins pre- and post-game shows at the Miami Lakes and Bird Road locations for the 2021 season.
Folks, first of all, don't forget to smash the like button. It is very important to smash that like button while you're watching the podcast or here on YouTube. Very, very important. All right. How are you doing, sir? How are you feeling? You feeling closer to 100% already?
About 99.2, I would say. A little bit of low. Throat scratching, but pretty good overall. Thank you.
All right. That's close enough. We'll take that for now. Are you going to go see the Psychedelic Furs tonight at Revolution Live?
Oh, Love My Way. I am not, but Love My Way. I love that song. Don't know a ton of their work, but I like that one. There are a couple of other songs of theirs that I know I like. And
Pretty in Pink, Heartbreak Beat. Yeah. Come on,
man. It's a great venue too. It's a great venue also.
Yes. Spent many nights at Backstreets back in the day when that was Backstreets. But anyway, those are other times, long, long time ago. All right, let's get into this. First of all, we all saw the press conference. And the question I have is, I understand that he doesn't want to squash I understand that he doesn't want to address the rumors, but why not squash them? And you saw what Mike Tomlin did with the USC rumors. He squashed it and sent you to hell, basically. Why not try to corner him? Because we all know he can't squash him because they're really involved in the talks. So he really can't. We can't. But maybe you can almost force him to a Saban point so you can really kind of corner him. How come guys haven't really, or women there in the press room, haven't really cornered him about this whole thing?
No, and that's a fair point. I think that the way the question would need to be asked would be, are you ready to commit to Tua as being your quarterback for the rest of the 2021 season?
And beyond,
but that's not fair. I don't think you can go there. I think at the very least, he and Stephen Ross had the opportunity to squash it. Also yesterday at the owners' meetings, and he basically preemptively kind of like laughed it off and like, no, I'm not talking about. I know what you want to talk about. I'm not talking about that. And my guess is, I don't know if Flo has beaten down the media to the point where it's almost we're expecting certain answers and therefore we don't ask questions. But yeah, it certainly would be a fair question to ask. Are you ready to commit to Tua, as your starter, to me at the very least through the end of the 2021 season?
So you're going to ask him that on Friday? Because no. he's going to dodge you on Thursday. That's for sure. Because he's not talking on Thursdays now, right?
He doesn't talk on Thursdays anymore. Correct.
Convenience. So Friday we can hold your feet to the fire. You're gonna corner him.
I make no promises, but I will take it under advisement.
I mean, I want him to shit or get off the pot, dude. That's all. Just do it, bro. Because I kind of compared it to what happened to me my last year at QAM earlier on the show. I knew for 11 months, Alan, that I was getting fired. For 11 months, I knew it. It's not a fun thing to walk into work knowing that the guy that's at the top is going to eliminate your salary at the end of the year. And the difference between me and Tua is they never replaced me, because all they've done at 560 and 790 is just get rid of people, but they're not bringing anything in. They got less and less and less is what they're doing. You know what I mean? Like, right, they just switched 790 to all gambling now. There are no live shows on there anymore. So I understand that part, but it's not, let me tell you, man, 11 months of walking into that building, knowing that the asshole at the top doesn't like you or has to eliminate your salary, whatever it is, dude, that's not a fun feeling to be in for Tua.
No, I understand that. But again, it's not like he hasn't had many opportunities to take it upon himself to go beyond Tua as our starting quarterback, and to add, we're committed to him long term. It's not a big step for him to say that at all. And he's had multiple and multiple opportunities to do it, and they refuse to do it. And why do they refuse to do it? Well, pretty obvious, because they're still interested in pulling something off with Deshaun Watson before the trade deadline next Tuesday. And that's why, you know, even if you hold his feet to the fire and, okay, commit one way or the other, chances are you're not gonna get, if we haven't gone by now, we're committed to Tua as a long-term starter. We need to stop with all that speculation about us making a trade for the quarterback. There's no reason to believe that that would change.
Man, that is just, to me, do you think it's has it affected the locker room at all? Because it's not like they've shown that kind of, you know, open support in a way. The players didn't vote him for captain, which is not completely out of place for a young guy like that. But still, it's just, if your coaching staff and front office are already moving on, it's hard for the players he's playing with to look at him and say, no, yeah, you're our leader. You know what I mean? That's a really difficult situation they've put him in.
No, that's fair. But I would take exception with your point about that it's not unusual for a young quarterback to not be a captain, because I did the research, and if memory serves, there were 27 teams that named season captains as opposed to game by game. And out of those 27, only two teams did not have their quarterback as one of their captains, and it was the Dolphins and it was the Patriots with Mac Jones. But there were a lot of other rookie quarterbacks, Trevor Lawrence, Zach Wilson, Zach Wilson, I believe, was a captain, and second-year quarterbacks were named captains. So that doesn't apply to me. I do think it was a big deal, but then again, if all the scuttlebutt is your team's trying to replace a guy, trying to go get Deshaun Watson, it's understandable that guys might be hesitant to make this guy their captain. I do think it has some kind of like intangible effect, but how much that plays into what's going on the field, yeah, I'm not so sure about that.
I don't believe it affects that much, but in the locker room, his command of things, you know, guys are looking at him like, yo, dude, you're not even going to be here next month. You know what I mean? It's like, so it's, you know, can Tua call somebody out? You know what I mean? Will they respond, or they'll look at him like, yo, dude, you're not going to be here next year. So, you know, what? I don't care what you think, you know, that.
No. And then you hear all those comments like coming out of training camp from some of my media colleagues about Tua really emerging as a leader and all that. I was like, dude, the guy's a quarterback and he's running the offense. So yeah, there has to be some kind of leadership. Because yeah, if you're like a wallflower and never say anything, you can't be a quarterback. So that was kind of obvious. That was kind of overplayed. The bottom line is, the only thing he can do, and this cliche city here, but is control what he can control and ball out on Sundays. He had a very efficient performance against Atlanta on Sunday. I'm going to tell you here, I'm going to probably piss you off, but I don't think it was breathtakingly spectacular like a lot of people are making it out to be, because everything was short. The pass protection was very good, but what he did very well. He was very efficient. And all he can do is keep stacking games like this, you know, until he's no longer the starting quarterback, whenever that may be.
When we look at this situation with Watson, have you been able to ask around? I know you're not going to get public comments, but behind the scenes, are they worried at all about the PR nightmare that it could cause? You have your section of Neanderthal fans that they're always only going to care about football and what can you do for my team, and I don't care if you're murdering people out in your you know, off time. We have that section of fans. But there's going to be a large section of fans that are going to feel uneasy about this. Women, female fans, I would imagine, are going to be pretty creepy about this. Sponsors, I wonder what they're going to feel about this. I'm just wondering, have you done any homework on that side of what it could do to the environment? Because whether he's innocent or he's guilty, he's still kind of creepy. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just wondering what's the feeling going to be if they do acquire him from all kinds of different people that are tied to this organization.
Okay, well, a couple of things here. Number one, you make a very good point. And as the father of a daughter, as you are, I wouldn't want him anywhere near me, anywhere near my daughter. Having said that, we have to understand, and you've talked about the Neanderthal outlook out there. And unfortunately, what he's being accused of in terms of the fans, sponsors, advertisers, and all that, I would tell you is a lot less egregious than, oh, God forbid, Colin Kaepernick taking a knee during the national anthem.
possible sexual assault. Not as bad as taking a knee.
Am I wrong? I'm saying that's what it is. It's completely outrageous, but that's the truth. And then we look at other situations, and this is why I've kind of steered clear of taking a moral high ground, because yeah, what he's accused of is completely disgusting. If there's truth to it, he should be out of the NFL for a long, long time, if not forever. But then again, if we're going to start doing that, I mean, hell, I don't see Kansas City fans having an issue with Tyreek Hill, who punched his pregnant girlfriend while he was in college.
Right.
Which to me is kind of just as vile, if I don't want to say more, but it's kind of in the same ballpark of vileness.
It's disgusting. It's another level of disgusting. Right.
It's completely disgusting. So to me, I think in nature of fans, I think, yeah, there'll be a PR hit. But how long does it last? Does it last until Watson throws four touchdowns against New England or against an opponent like that? And then, oops, all of a sudden it's all forgotten. So right or wrong, that's the way I see it. And I'm not making a judgment on it. I'm just telling you that I think that's pretty much the way it is.
All right. So let me run a totally Oliver Stone thing on your ass here. Okay.
Love it. Love it. Bring it.
I'm going to throw you completely because it's, and I'm not saying this is what's happening, but I'm just saying the optics of it is kind of what, you know, we're seeing here. Okay, in a normal world, I'm going to walk you through a normal world, okay?
Okay.
And I'm not saying that we need to make changes and fire people. I have not gotten to that point, even though I am livid with Flo right now and all the weird-ass decisions and things that he's done this year. Like, he's got me, like, completely lost. But I still don't want him fired. I want him to save his damn job and kick ass here in the next 10 weeks, and I want Greer to save his job. But normally,
okay,
you are the GM. You hire a coach. The coach can't find the right assistant coaches. He's constantly firing. You come up to your third year with expectations. You absolutely flop. A lot of your picks are not playing well. A lot of the people you paid a lot of money to are not playing well. The quarterback apparently has not convinced the coaching staff or the ownership. Normally, in a normal world, when you're 1-6 and probably headed to a 3-win season, everybody gets shit canned. Normally. You mean you drafted a quarterback at 5 and you've given up on him a year later? Get out of here. That's normally what happens. Yet, Barry Jackson reports that everybody's feeling safe about their jobs, and I'm glad because I hope they do survive, but it's still weird that you wouldn't hear about all of that. And so now let's nonchalant move over to Watson. And I know what people all say. Ross makes no decisions. Ross doesn't pressure anybody. But I have a hard time believing that you're just going to easily go over everything that's not working, schemes, players, salaries, quarterback, everything, picks, all of that, and you're going to give up more picks for a player with a shady reputation to try to bail you out. I have a hard time believing that Tua was solely the selection of Greer and Flo now. Like, I don't – It's so weird that you would just gloss over everything and say, yeah, everybody's safe. We're just going to add Watson and we're just going to move on and we'll try to fix it from here on out. Dude, normally you get blown out for stuff like this. I'm just saying. So it's really weird how all of this is just going to transition the way we're talking. And if it really is like that, then I have a hard time believing that Tua was only their selection. I'm just saying.
Oh, I don't think you're off the mark there. There's been a lot of scuttlebutt out there that Stephen Ross had his kind of his imprint on that pick. And you know, the big story that's floated around was in 2018. Stephen Ross kind of suggested, hey, how about we trade back from 12 and take Lamar Jackson later in the first round. And he was basically vetoed, and the Dolphins took Minka Fitzpatrick, who was a terrific pick. Hell of a player. This is a black mark on Flores' resume, the fact that he couldn't make it work and they wound up having to trade him. That's beside the point.
By the way, if they don't know how to build around Tua, they wouldn't have known how to build around Lamar Jackson.
Okay, but here's my point.
We must give the Ravens and their front office and coaching staff an enormous amount of credit that they are severely disciplined to build the team that Lamar needs in order to succeed. So let's give them credit for that, because I think Lamar would have failed miserably in a lot of other teams and a lot of other situations. I'm just saying.
Had people not been intelligent enough to see what kind of quarterback he needs to be in the NFL. Okay, but here's my point, though, to my bigger point. So the Dolphins bypassed Lamar Jackson, and in 2019, the entire league and Stephen Ross watches Lamar Jackson be named NFL MVP when he completely blows up the league. So 2020 comes around, and if Stephen Ross had a jonesing for Tua Tagovailoa, we're actually not thinking that maybe he pushed harder than he pushed for Lamar Jackson after seeing what happened with Jackson. And like I said, and there's been a lot of scuttlebutt that Stephen Ross really wanted Tua. And again, based on what happened with Lamar Jackson, it certainly would make sense for him to have said, listen, guys, I bowed to you on Lamar Jackson. Let's get Tua this time. And as far as point number two, as far as the idea of keeping the regime, to me, it all boils down to Brian Flores and Chris Greer, because I consider them a tandem. I don't believe that Chris Greer makes personnel decisions without Flo, at the very least, his stamp of approval. That's at the very least.
You're 1,000% right. You're not speculating. You're not guessing. Nothing. They are a tandem. There's no doubt about it.
So to me, you get rid of both of them or you keep both of them. And the thing is, last year, in the second year of a rebuild, quicker than anybody thought, boom, they're 10-6 and they're in playoff contention, controlling their playoff fate heading into the last game of the season. And that, to me, built them a lot of equity. So I can absolutely understand why they're still around, and I can still understand why they would still be around after the end of the season if the Dolphins make some kind of a little move and win some games and become very competitive every week. But and the flip side, of course, if things continue to go south and the Dolphins finish 2-15 or 3-14, then obviously all bets are off, and then I think we easily could see a change.
Yeah, I mean, but again, if there is no change and you're making the trade, I'm just going to say, wow, there's more to this story. I don't know what it is.
Of course.
But there's something going on here. And, you know, when you keep telling me somebody's in charge and they're really not in charge, I just keep getting frustrated with all of that, because then you just, when there's so many chefs in the damn kitchen, you know, I just find it's a very nonchalant way, the way they're moving. This isn't like the Rosen pick, or this is the number 5 overall pick in the damn draft. And in a freaking year, you've just moved on.
But no, but again, Big O, you're missing the point.
I almost get the feeling like Flo and Greer are going, all right, Steve, we gave you your shot. You see, he can't play. We got to move on. And they're like,
Sorry, Big O. No, sorry, Big O. I'm going to have to disagree with you here. It's not that Tua can't play. And I don't believe that the Dolphins think that for a second. Okay. It's that they look at Tua, and again, remember the term I used for his game Sunday was very efficient. And based on his physical attributes, to me, I don't know how much higher he can get than that. Okay. Whereas, so in a best case scenario, maybe he becomes a top 15 quarterback in the NFL and you need parts around him or you're not getting anywhere. Whereas Deshaun Watson is a bona fide, let's say, top five quarterback.
Yeah.
Where his issues are cleared up and you can be a contender with him year after year just because of how good of a quarterback is and settling that position. If you remember the introductory press conference,
If you have the team. If not, you can throw 4,800 yards and 33 touchdowns and 7 interceptions, and you win 4 games.
Except I'm going to tell you this. You need a whole lot less pieces around Deshaun Watson than you do around Tua.
You still need an offensive line around Deshaun Watson. Any quarterback you have, you will need an offensive line around Deshaun Watson.
You mean like Tua had on Sunday, which was perfectly acceptable, perfectly fine.
Yeah, for short passes, not for long.
I'm sorry. Look back at the game. I watched. I rewatched.
Yeah,
that
game, there's a
and
couple.
He had plenty of time to throw the pass. He was pressured, maybe a handful of time. I'm not buying this constant dumping on the offensive line, even after a game when they actually played pretty well. I mean, let's give them some credit.
The way you go into that game and every game right now for the Dolphins is that you got to get rid of this football quickly until over a length of time they prove that they can hold for a while. Then you can start going on the deep end and taking deep shots, which, by the way, they don't have a lot of players anyways that can actually do that except for Waddle right now.
And you also don't have a quarterback who throws the ball downfield very well.
No, you do have a quarterback. The problem is you don't have a running game and you don't have proper receivers to do some of the things that you need to do. But if you get that offensive line working where they actually can give the kid confidence and he can sit back there and really wait, then, yeah, he can play the game. I think he can't do – he threw deep in Alabama, dude, but he had linemen in Alabama.
He had 5 seconds to throw every time. But, again, Tua needs more help around him than Deshaun Watson, and it's not even close.
That's the point
I'm trying to make to you.
If
the Dolphins have Pro Bowlers at every position on offense, yeah, Tua's going to be great.
No.
But that's not reality.
He's not going to need Pro Bowlers on every position, but he does need an offensive line. I think he can work with everything else that they have if you give him an offensive line and a running game. He gets that.
And like I said, they had 430 yards against the Falcons, so obviously – the offensive line did some things right. And again, I've been dumping on the offensive line as much as anybody. I absolutely hate the fact that they're getting zero credit for what they did Sunday.
Yeah, well, we'll see this week what the offensive line does instead of facing a Falcon team with no pass rush and is absolutely terrible. Now,
Big O, hold on.
This week Tua drops back with a lot of time to pass, then you're right.
Okay, Big O. And mentioned that the Atlanta has a horrible secondary. So if you're going to attribute the good performance of the offensive line because they played against a garbage defense, then is it not fair to say that, well, Tua succeeded and played that well because he played against that garbage defense?
Yeah, no,
I mean,
it's not just Tua.
It's part of it.
It's part of his success that he played against a bad defense,
obviously,
this week. But it's a bad team. He played against two bad teams the last 2 weeks.
Correct.
So the offensive line was a little better. The running game was a little better. They used more of a passing running game in 2 weeks ago. This week, they were able to actually run the ball. Now, this week against Buffalo, if the line can give them time, then I think you can actually be somewhat competitive. If they can't give them any time and they can't run the ball, then you've got no shot in hell. Right?
True.
So we will find out this week if the line truly has made some progress. Because I've watched Tua play all right at times, like against Arizona, good defense.
He had a very good game.
So there are moments and very weak weapons, by the way, in the process while you're doing this. So if this kid actually had some support, I think Drew Brees always had support, dude. That's all I'm saying. Treat him like you treated Drew Brees. Give him the damn line and everything else in a running game And I think everything else works out. You know what I'm saying?
And so I'm clear on this. I am not suggesting that Tua can become a good quality NFL quarterback. I just think the line between him and Deshaun Watson is very, very clear.
Right. And you don't think he can be elite, is what you're saying. That's all. Right. Yeah, That's what you're saying. You're saying he doesn't have the athleticism to be elite.
And arm strength.
Yeah, and arm strength. Right. That's what I mean in athleticism and all that. Okay. That's fine. But what's the arm strength difference between Tua and Joe Montana and Tua and Drew Brees and Tua and Fran Tarkenton? You know what I mean? And Tua and Chad Pennington, although Chad had more size than all these guys that I just mentioned, but plenty of guys have had his kind of arm strength and succeeded in the history of football. You're old enough like I am to have seen all those guys I talked about.
You're talking outliers, and Fran Tarkenton doesn't apply because Fran Tarkenton can run like a running back.
Well, no, he was a scrambler. I guess.
Correct.
He was a scrambler. Correct. I get. Well, but Tua can scramble a little bit. He can run around, dude. He makes people miss.
He's not Fran Tarkenton.
He's not Fran or Roger the Dodger. I get that.
Okay. So we're back to Montana and Brees. That's two out of how many quarterbacks?
Montana too. Exactly.
I said Montana and Brees. So you're talking two out of how many quarterbacks? You're hoping he becomes that guy. I'm not saying it's impossible. I'm just saying it's probably not likely.
I know.
Whereas I know what I'm getting in Deshaun Watson if the Dolphins make the trade.
But you're being unfair on the Tarkenton thing. It's still the same arm. Whether Tarkenton scrambled a little bit more to make the play, the arm strength for Fran Tarkenton and Tua, it's the same thing, dude. There's no difference in arm strength. That's it.
I understand that, except right? that Fran Tarkenton made a lot of things happen with his legs more than yes. Tua can. Yeah, okay, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Staubach did the same thing. Yeah, he was. He also did his share of dancing around a little bit. We could call Tarkenton the poor man's Kyler Murray.
True. Yeah, very, very poor man. Very poor man.
Very poor man's Kyler Murray. Although I mean, Tarkenton was a really good passer. He was very accurate.
Sure, he was very accurate. Yeah.
So I got to give him credit there. I'll give him props. What are you picking this week? A massacre?
No, yeah, it's. I mean, it's hard to not go with a massacre. Actually, no, I actually do think that the Dolphins will keep it competitive for a while, but then at some point, I mean, look, the game last year in the season finale with Josh Allen and the regulars in the lineup, the Dolphins actually led 7-0 after the first quarter, and then it completely went south. So, I do see the possibility of the Dolphins hanging in there for a while. I just don't think in the long run they have enough to pull off the upset.
Follow him on Twitter at Poopart NFL and catch his exceptional work there at Sports Illustrated. Every Dolphin should bookmark that page. Alan, thank you, my brother. Appreciate you. Much love.
You got it. We'll talk to you post-game.
You got it. There you go. It's good to see that he's feeling better, too. I like that. Sean, we're at that point, right? We got to stop, right? The video part of it. All right, folks, we are going to wrap. We don't have enough time because it may not end up. Do I give my picks? Do I have enough time? What do I do here? Because I got another thing to do. What do you want to do?
I have another way I can get the video, so you can keep going if you need to.
Okay. All right. So let me. Last night, we did not do well in our NBA picks. Let's see where we at. All right, here we go. We took the Lakers 4.5. Dude, I didn't know LeBron wasn't going to play. It's funny. I made the pick here, so I take the loss. But last night when I was, like, making my picks, I found out that LeBron wasn't going to play, and I, like, did not lose it. So at least I didn't physically lose the game, but I did lose it here with you guys. I said lay the 4.5, they won by 4. Without LeBron, if they have LeBron, I easily win the damn game. And at least I break even last night. But anyway, I did end up losing last night. I told you to take the over 221.5. You know, they taketh away and they giveth. And so Houston and Dallas, it was 221.5. I told you to take the over. They scored 222. So I won by half a point on that one. So we're 1-1. We told you to take Philly -1.5. Man, got to give the Knicks a lot of credit. They balled out 112-99. So I lost that one. We told you to go Golden State -9 at OKC because OKC is terrible. Well, they won by 8. So I lose one game by half a point. I win another one by half a point, and I lose another one by a point. So we're 1-3 on the season. I mean, 1-3 on the night. We end up 10-9 so far against the number in the NBA slate. All right. So since we're 10-9 on the NBA slate, these are going to be our picks for tonight. One, I'm taking Miami +4.5. They're taking on the Nets. I think Miami is going, even if they lose this game, I think they lose by a basket or a point or something at the end. I think Miami's going to win tonight. But I'm not going to go as far as, you know, taking the money line. But I am going to take Miami +4.5 tonight against the Nets. So I'll be a homer. Hornets are favored by 6 at the Magic. We all saw the Magic the other night. Magic are not a good team. Hornets are pretty good, man. All right. LaMelo Ball dresses kind of funny. He's got a great car, but he does dress kind of funny. But I'm going to go with Ball and the boys, -6 at the Magic. I'm going to go Charlotte, making Michael Jordan happy. Atlanta, -6 at New Orleans. So the Hawks are favored by 6. I'm going to go with the Hawks. I don't believe in the Pelicans. They are a terrible team. We've already picked up 2 wins this season against New Orleans. I'm going to pick up one more. Atlanta -6 at New Orleans. Let's go, Hawks. Sacramento's at Phoenix. Phoenix is favored by 8. I'm going to go to the Valley, and I'm going with the Suns -8 against Sacramento. So Heat +4.5, Hornets -6, Hawks -6, and Phoenix -8. So I'm going with 1 dog and 3 favorites there. Let's see. Calgro says, West Coast love to OK show. Thanks, Omar. Been to Miami 1 time for the season opener in 15 against the Bills. Shout out to Space 32 or Tailgate 35. Tailgate in Miami is effing awesome. I love Miami. We love you, Calgro. Thank you for tuning in and giving us some love. Please don't forget to smash the hell out of the like button. What else do we have? Newsflash, Mike Jamorzek says, Tua is completing over 70% of his passes, averaging over 300 yards in the air since returning from his injury. He ain't the problem. I'm with you. Problem is, the team is not with us. Dennis Teixeira says, how can Pupar say that the offensive line played well? If you watched every play and you think they played well, he needs a new job. I guess I get what he's saying. They have played better than the earlier weeks, the last 2 weeks, but they also have been playing against the weakest competition in the NFL. 2 defensive lines that really don't scare people. So that was also the problem too with that. We'll find out now if they can do a little better against the Bills. That'll be the test. Be a nice test for them. Let's see. It was reported this morning that the Panthers backed out. Yes, we've already talked about that. It's not so much that the Panthers like have backed out. They're just not interested until the legal issues are resolved. And since there aren't legal issues resolved, they're not. They're smart. Only our team would be dumb enough to trade for a guy in the middle of all those legal issues. But by the way, bringing up what I brought up to Alan, doesn't it feel a little weird to you that nothing has gone right this year? You would figure that would cost people their jobs. And what Barry Jackson reported was they're all safe and they're fine. And they're expect to all be back next year and everything. And then they're nonchalantly moving from the number five overall pick 1 year later to another guy. I just get the feeling they didn't pick Tua now. It just doesn't make sense. Think about it. So you're the owner. You're watching X and Jerome Baker play like dog shit after you paid him all this money. Byron Jones is playing like dog shit. Bunch of your young players aren't developing. They can't figure out the coaches. They don't know who the offensive coordinator is. They're 1-6. And they're just saying, scratch it. We're going to move on to the next quarterback. To the late, great Mad Dog, rest in peace, sir. But I'm going to steal your line one more time. I put it to my nosy and it don't smell so rosy. What, in a season like what's going on now, people lose jobs. I don't want anyone to get fired. I'm just being honest about normally what happens. So if you're just casually moving on and dismissing this kid and moving on to Watson, that tells me these guys didn't really make that decision. And Pupar brought up a good point. If the owner wanted Lamar and they didn't make Lamar, then this time around, he goes, hey, you guys didn't want Lamar, and he kicked ass. I want this kid. Take him. I told you guys that there was a report about Chris Greer liking Herbert before the draft. And I told you about that before the draft. And you know how a lot of you reacted? Oh, my God, Chris Greer's an idiot, a moron. And I don't even know if it's true or not that he wanted Herbert. But this, the way they're moving on so easily, it's weird. It's really weird. I'm just saying. Really, really odd. Dana says, Big O, if reports are correct, the Finns never should have entered trade talks. You poison their relationship with Tua for a trade. That is never going to happen. Poison their relationship with Watson. We're going to find out, bro, how all of this works out. Jose Cervantes says, Big O, who wins championship first, Canes or Dolphins? Panthers. Jose, first of all, dude, don't ever mention the Canes in a championship ever again. It's never going to happen. So, you know, let's stop with that already. Now, the Dolphins, you know, we look like we're light years away from that right now. But the Canes, no, you never want to mention that ever again, bro. That's give up already. It's done. I know they beat NC State this week. 31-30. Yes, they hung on. They've turned the corner. The program's back on track. They're ready to challenge Alabama. Oh, Lordy. Some of you are a trip out there, I tell you. Big O, I don't think the offensive line is playing better. I think they're playing less awful. That was good, Michael. I like that line. I like that line. Giancarlo says, I heard that the terms were agreed already for Watson, just waiting on the legal issues. Yeah, that's the problem. We have people tuning in and coming in and out of it all. We've already addressed that, and that was not correct. And John McClain said he had not reported that at all. He says that there is no deal in place. The bottom line is they're waiting. The Dolphins are waiting, and other teams are waiting for the legal issues to clear up before they actually do the deal. So we will find out. Okay. Big O, if the Finns trade for Watson, they need to find a new home for Tua today before he gets killed by Buffalo on Sunday and has no trade value. Well, that's not going to happen. Pickett to the Lions. I like that kid. I like that kid. Jared Goff ain't the answer. That's for damn sure Jared Goff ain't the answer. Radically says, me and Big O were getting roasted for wanting Wirfs. Tristan Wirfs. You know, while I'm in a bad mood about our Dolphins being so bad, I am in a great mood that Shib is at 70. Holy crap. That is just awesome. If that thing moves over a digit, we're going to have a party. Don't forget to, if you want to make a donation, you can do it through Cash App or Venmo. Cash Big O Show. That's Cash Big O Show. Luigi, by the way, giving us a little love on the super chat. Thank you, Luigi. Appreciate you. Every time I see the name Luigi, it reminds me of For Your Eyes Only, 007. And he goes up to the mountains. He's in his it's not an Austin Martin. It's the few times that he was using that twin turbo car. Anyway, and he goes into the hockey rink and he knocks out a couple of those guys. And when he comes out, the guy's dead. That guy's name was Luigi, the French guy. I forgot. But you guys know what I'm talking about. So every time I hear the name Luigi, it always reminds me of that. Because I think that's the name of the guy in For Your Eyes Only. And she, man, that woman in For Your Eyes Only, not body-wise, not my type, because she's, you know, very skinny. You know, I like some curves, but her eyes, her face, that is a gorgeous woman. Big O, does your wife and you, do you buy candles for kids that trick or treat? Well, my daughter's already grown up, dude. No more of that stuff. So we don't even do anything. We just get some candy and we end up eating it because maybe one kid shows up. We don't have trick-or-treaters in our neighborhood. You know, when my daughter wanted to trick-or-treat, we didn't trick-or-treat in this neighborhood. You know where we would go? We'd drive down to the Biltmore. And apparently in that area, there's a lot of trick-or-treating going on. So you park right around the church area there, and then you just get off and you go walk, and all those houses, they're all ready to go. They're all pumped up for Halloween, and there's crowds and stuff. There's people, so it's actually cool. I don't think my daughter ever trick-or-treated in her own neighborhood. How weird is that? So, yeah, the days of the pumpkins and candles, and that's all gone, bro. I don't do any of that anymore. Nothing. I think we may have carved a pumpkin a couple times. That's it. Like twice, I think. What a mess, too. Holy crap. That's disgusting, by the way. All the crap out. I'm not a pumpkin guy as it is. I don't really like pumpkin, not pie or anything else. So I'm the wrong guy to ask about that dessert. Yeah, no, none of that for us anymore. We just sit, watch television, and then wait for one person maybe to ring the doorbell. And then we give them the candy, and then my fat ass eats the rest of the candy for the next couple of months. I don't even know why we buy the candy anymore. It's just calories for me, dude. That's all it is. Rick Kyle says, oh, my God, it is what we thought. The guys that want Watson, A, don't care if he's a sexual predator. B, will not give Tua credit no matter what he does. Hey, man, listen, you got your group of people that are convinced that Tua is not the guy. That's just the way it is. Sports, man. We're not all going to agree. We're not all going to see things the same way. It's just the way it is. Sometimes you'll be right and sometimes you'll be wrong. Sometimes you'll be surprised at things that happen that you never saw coming. Sometimes you'll guess it and you'll nail it right away. It's sports, man. That's life. You know, some of you out there, you all want to fire Greer and Flo. Not me. I'm not ready to part ways with the gentleman. I want them to kind of, you know, fight their way through this and figure it out. That's the way it is. Gesicki is one of the few bright spots on the offense, so of course the Finns will screw this up and lose him because they're operating with stupid people at the controls. Darren Lee says, what team would be good for Tua? I just hope he goes to a team that's got a coaching staff that understands what the hell he needs to do. Now that I'm thinking about it, the Redskins could use Tua. Be a good coach for him. Ron Rivera. I think Ron Rivera would love to coach a guy like Tua. And he's got some nice weapons. They got a decent defense there. That might be a decent place for him to go. Let me see who else. What other team could use a quarterback and maybe has a good structure for him to succeed? And Matt Ryan's getting old. I don't know how long. I think they get, no, you know what? I think they're stuck with Matt Ryan for 2 more years. I believe they gave him an extension, so I think it's 2 more. So, no, that won't be good. Vikings. That's a good one, Zachary. I like that one. Vikings have a team, man. Steelers. Wow. You know, that's an excellent one also with the structure of that team. Tua would be a stud there on the Steelers. Yeah, that would be absolutely excellent. That's a great call. That's my favorite one of them all. Steelers. I hope he goes to the Steelers, man. Oh, thank you all out there for that. I mean, I hope he stays with the Dolphins forever. New Orleans is another one. That would be the next best one. BFA, I like that one a lot. Any of those two would be outstanding for him. Pittsburgh or the New Orleans Saints. Yeah, because Peyton already worked with Breeze. So he's going to know how to take care of the kid and set him up for success. Oh, yeah. Definitely. Tua and Sean Payton, a perfect match, Tori T says. Yeah, that is great. Yeah. No, not the Giants. No. No, Luke. And he did put a LOL right after it. But, yeah, no, not the Giants. No. 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 But Pittsburgh and New Orleans, those are pretty good right there. Broncos wouldn't be bad either. Dana, that's a good one there too because they got a nice defense. And they got a couple weapons. Football is now becoming less politics, not giving credit and lies. And so not giving credit and lies have been a part of football forever. It has nothing to do with politics. Najee Harris and Tua together, right? You're right. Send them to an AFC rival and then Tua comes to beat you badly. Well, that's if you want to give up on him, what are you going to do? That's the only time I won't pull for him is when he's playing for the Dolphins, or playing against the Dolphins. If he gets traded, that's the only time. But if not, I'm going to be rooting for Tua, man. I'm not happy with the way they've handled this situation and the young man. I think they've done a disservice to the young man. I think the team has done a disservice to themselves. Really, in the end, that's what you're doing. You're doing a disservice to yourself by not handling this the proper way. And possibly passing up on a franchise quarterback because you didn't know how to build around him. Breeze, not a lefty. Doesn't really matter. That has nothing to do with it. You can be a great quarterback and be a lefty. I saw Mark Brunell play. I saw the Snake Stabler play. You can be a lefty. Boomer Esiason was a heck of a quarterback. Steve Young was a heck of a quarterback. Lefties can have success in the NFL. That's just a whole bunch of crap. That's all. It's just that, you know, us lefties are, even though I really can't call myself a lefty because I don't do everything lefty, but us lefties are, you know, we're a special breed, us lefties. Yeah, I didn't know. You know, now that I realized it, since I right went with my left, not only can I relate with Tua going to a job every day that they don't want you because they're going to fire you like they did to me at QAM for the last 11 months, knowing I knew that I was going to get fired. By the way, I think that might have been my great. I've had some great predictions in sports, right? I've nailed some real sweet ones over the years in 30 years. But I think my greatest prediction was that I was going to get fired 11 months before I got fired. I think that was pretty strong on my part, by the way. I think it was pretty awesome. God, I was happy that day. How many of you have been happy to get fired? And by the way, I may have that also in common with Tua. Once he gets traded, he's going to be happy. Like, okay, I'm out of this shit show, right? Because that's what I felt like when they let me go at QAM. I was like, thank God. I looked at Len with a smile. Thank you. I told him, thank you. I knew this was coming for a long, long time. I really appreciate it. Thank you. I remember the HR guy. Because, you know, when they fire you, they take you to a room and they have an HR person there, right? That they have all the paperwork and all that. And it's a witness just in case that, you don't go ape shit and knock your boss out or whatever, you know, which I would never do that. I mean, I could beat Len Wiener down with my legs and hands tied. Okay. You know what I'm saying? I mean, you know, it's just like, that's not even a thought, you know, it's just like, you know, so they always have the HR guy there. And when I'm signing my paperwork, he goes, I got to tell you something, O. I've never, ever seen someone go through this with and the amount of enjoyment that you are showing me right now. He told me straight up like that. He goes, normally people are pissed. They're frustrated. They don't know what's going on. They're crying, all this. You know, you're like fine with this. And I go, yeah, I'm fine with this. I wanted to get the hell out of here. I mean, I know if I'm not wanted, what the hell do I want to be here for? It's the best thing. That is the best. And because I knew I wanted to do this, because I knew I could go digital now and I didn't need the damn station. And we've proven that already, that we don't need a station. We know the audience will follow you, the audience that loves you and supports you. They will help you grow, and that's what's happened. You guys have been absolutely freaking amazing. And I can't say enough, Sean and myself can't say enough about the support that we're getting here on the show. You guys have been absolutely phenomenal. But yeah, that's the one time that I was extremely happy that I got fired. Oh man, Big O, if Watson trade doesn't happen, how about we actively recruit Nick Saban? He had some major success on the college level. Saban will get the most out of Tua and will know how to utilize him. Luigi, let's stay in reality. You know, Saban's not going to the pros anymore. He did the pros, he failed, it's over. He doesn't coach men. It's not his thing. He's more with the kids. His dictator stuff is only flies there. So no. Let's you know, when you guys start suggesting coaches and stuff and GMs, you know, not Pioli and not Newsom, you know, these people aren't coming back to your organization. Okay. And you're not gonna convince Nick Saban to come, and you're not gonna, you know, another guy told me, hey, why don't we go after Mike Tomlin? I'm like, seriously, dude, Mike Tomlin's gonna leave the Pittsburgh Steelers, an organization that has known how to do things right for 50 years now. So he's gonna leave an organization that's been doing things the right way pretty much for 50 years. They've had a couple lulls, but not too many. And they've had Chuck Knoll. They've had Mike Tomlin, and they've had Bill Cowher. So, you know, I told the guy, so Mike Tomlin's going to leave Pittsburgh to come to the Dolphins. And then he answered back and he goes, yeah, that was stupid. And I was like, yeah, that was stupid. I mean, you know, let's get realistic, all right? It's not going to, you know, the fix is not as simple as it seems. It would be nice to get it fixed. That's why I want Flo and I want Greer to figure this shit out and, you know, do something here down the stretch to change everything, because more and more changes, man, I don't know what the hell's going on. Too much. You're right, Big O. Nick Saban, his dictator style only flies with kids and Jason Taylor. Zach Thomas hated his ass. Caesar says, I may disagree with you sometimes and tune you off, but I haven't listened to QAM since they let you go. So that says a lot. Wow, that's very nice. I appreciate you, Caesar. It's a shame they've let go of a lot of good people, man. They have very few good people left now on the air. They only got a couple shows left. Now they're only down to one station. How about that company? They're going to put gambling 24 hours all over the place. I mean, you can have a gambling show or two, but I don't think you're going to get away with it the entire time. Now you want to compete with Vissen from the satellite side. Lisa Rose says, this would be the second Alabama first rounder the Finns have given up on within a year. You got to wonder just how much of this has to do with Saban meddling. Just the thought. Nah, I don't think it's a Saban thing. But I am thinking it's more than Greer and Flo. Somebody else is meddling. That's what I get. I get that feeling. This switch is too easy, too smooth. They're too nonchalant. Sorry. Let's see. Can't argue with Saban's success in college. No one's arguing the success in college. But then again, nobody gives a shit about the success in college. We're talking about the NFL. Oh, how about Coach Ken from the White Shadow as our new coach? I like it. I like it. Let's do that. Carlos Segaro says, after his rant yesterday, it is clear as a day that Tomlin is going nowhere. Not even a blank check from a booster, loosely quoted. Never say never, but never. let's see. Luigi says, I'm from the Buffalo area and I would not trust Dable, the OC from Buffalo. I mean, he's done a great job, but there's no guarantees that Dable could be a great head coach. That's the problem with all of this. We can throw out names, but none of them are guarantees of anything, you know? Yes, Mike Tomlin did interview for the Miami job and was passed over because he was too hip-hop. That's what was part of that story. After he did that interview, they hired, was that the Philbin one? No, he was already in place. Who was it? Because it was right before he got hired with Pittsburgh. It's not Philbin. Not Philbin, not Gase. No, it might have been. You know what? It was Cam Cameron. That's what it was. It was Cam Cameron because he's been there a long time. So I'm pretty sure it was Cam Cameron. That year that they hired Cam Cameron was the year that they interviewed, Mike Tomlin. And then he got hired by Pittsburgh, and the rest is history. Okay? It was Sperano, you guys think? One guy says Sperano. I think it's Cameron because Sperano came with Parcells. I'm pretty sure it was Cameron the year before. That's what it was. Because the whole Parcells was always bringing his people. So Tomlin was not his people. I'm pretty sure it was the Cam Cameron hire when they interviewed Tomlin. And they said he was too hip-hop. which is such a racist damn term. Oh, God.
I just looked it up. Oh, he 2007, he was hired by Pittsburgh. 2007's head coach was Cam Cameron.
Right, that's what I thought. Yeah. Yeah, because I knew it wasn't Sperano because that was a whole package deal. Everybody came with Parcells. Sperano, Ireland, all they were all one group that they came in. It was Cam Cameron. Yeah, we hired Cam Cameron over Mike Tomlin. Yeah. And then not only do we hire Cam Cameron over Mike Tomlin, we then drop a racist ass line like, yeah, no, yeah, the interview, yeah, no, he was too hip hop. I was told that Mike Leach showed up in sandals and a Hawaiian shirt for his interview. Somebody told me, too, there was an extra aroma around, too, supposedly. So, yeah. Oh, my God. Big O, stop it. Wow. How can you choose Cam over Tomlin? Well, Cameron is in hip-hop. I mean, that's just obvious, bro. These guys, you know, they're not into hip-hop. They're not into anything. They don't like Snoop. They're not into Drake. You know what I'm saying? The Dolphin Brass just does not like rap. So that's the problem. No Kendrick Lamar. Nope, 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 nope. No Megan Thee Stallion. How do you say no to that? Anyway, so, you know, I'm just saying. When you're too hip-hop, you can't make it. Cam Cameron over Mike Tomlin. God. You should be forced to sell the team. You should be like, everybody should have been abolished from that building after that decision, right? Like, everybody needed to retire right there and then after that one decision. Like, you do not belong anywhere near a football team if you think that Cam Cameron was a better option than Mike Tomlin. And, you know, you see Mike Tomlin the way he carries himself. So, I don't care what you tell me about no hip-hop, this, that, whatever. The way I look at Mike Tomlin, you know how I look at Mike Tomlin? He's fucking cool. That's the way I look at it. I don't look at him as a white guy, a black guy, a red guy, a green guy, a yellow guy. I just look at him as a cool mofo is what I look at him as. I look at him as the kind of guy that is perfect to reach players and still have a little bit of that old school element in him. What the idiots with the Dolphins at that moment in 2007 had to say was not hip hop. They had to say that dude is perfect. It's not hip hop. He's hip. They should have used a word that white people used back in the 60s. To like, cool, forget hip hop. No, no, this guy's hip to what we need now in today's NFL. That's why the Kingsbury's and the Shanahan's and, you know, certain coaches that are younger, they are hipper. They understand. The McVay, hipper. They understand. Not a color thing. Not a religious thing, not a sex thing, none of that. It's, do you get it? Are you that guy? And he was clearly that guy. And they didn't see it. How ridiculous is that? James says, I am getting depressed. Yeah, fail forward fast over my way or the highway. Yeah, great choice, Miami. Big O, for Halloween, would you rather be Adam Gase or Joe Philbin or Cam Cameron? How would you do Halloween outfits? LOL. Try to think of somebody else that I would be over those guys. I mean, like, nobody would be happy to see you be those guys. Because you would just remind them of depressing stuff by being those guys. That's the problem with that. All right, we're out of here. We thank you all for tuning in, as always. Sean Stanley, excellent work by you, sir. You are the best in the business, always getting it done here. Remember, text line, you got any questions on the podcast, 855-912-1056. Send it in. Of course, you want to send in a donation, Cash App or Venmo, Cash Big O Show. We'll be back tomorrow morning at 10 a.m. Joe Shad will join us for his weekly segment. And we plan on having a few other guests also tomorrow as we get ready and get closer to the weekend. Friday, we're going to be out at Craig Zinn's Acura Pembroke Pines. So if you are in the Pembroke Pines area on Friday between 10 and 1, Sean and I will be out there. It's your opportunity to meet a real talent in this business named Sean Stanley, because it certainly isn't me. It's Sean. So come on out to 15601 Pines Boulevard, just off of I-75 and Pines. And then on Sunday, we'll be out at Sports Grill for the Dolphins and the Bills. Remember, Sports Grill now opening up at 10 a.m. to give you some breakfast. So if you need some waffles or pancakes or French toast or two and grits, whatever it is you want to get, come on down to Sports Grill in Miami Lakes. We'll be there. Sean and I will pull up there right around 10 a.m. when they open, and we'll be setting up so we can talk and set up while you have a delicious breakfast. We thank all of you out there. I love you all. We'll see you tomorrow. Same time, same place, same bat channel.